BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, thank you for joining us for a very important topic and program today here on Crosstalk. There was a popular song written way back in 1907. It had the name of School Days. Perhaps the most popular part of that song was this part. School days, dear old golden rule days, reading and writing and arithmetic, talk to the tune of the hickory stick. Well, if that's your perception of what's happening in the education system today, you've got a lot to learn, because students today are being heavily indoctrinated into socialism, critical race theory, sex education that's on steroids. I mean, they have new definitions of what is male, what is female, what is marriage, what is family, even being taught not to trust their own parents or the values that stem from their parents. Is this by accident or is this by design? Today we're going to talk and examine what's taking place behind school doors. With us, Alex Newman. He's an award-winning international freelance journalist. He's an author, a researcher, educator, and consultant. Senior editor for the New American, contributes to other publications. He did author the book, along with Sam Blumenfeld, Crimes of the Educators. Also, has written Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes. He is the founder of Liberty Sentinel. And Alex, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Great to be here. Thanks so much for having me, Jim.
Alex, you have been often on this program speaking on what's happening at the UN or Agenda 2030, the deep state, the Great Reset, and all kinds of related topics. Well, that may not be our major focus today. These matters, they're really not divorced by what's going on in the schools. They really are just joined at the hip, are they not?
They are. In fact, I think they're inseparable. The UN itself says they are inseparable. If you read all their international agreements, Agenda 21, if you go into Chapter 36, they actually tell you that education, public schooling, and brainwashing the children is the critical mechanism by which they're going to bring it to pass. Same thing in Agenda 2030. If you go to Goal Number 4, it's about how every child on the planet must be sufficiently indoctrinated with these ideas. So education really is the critical tool in their arsenal to bring about the New World Order, Great Reset, Build Back Better, Green New Deal type shenanigans. And it's been a very long process. I tell people this has been going on for well over a century. It's getting progressively worse, of course, but this is not a new phenomenon. We're just seeing kind of the culmination of the insanity. The climax is just happens to be happening now.
Well, several years ago, Alex, you and I conducted a full interview here on Crosstalk. We discussed your book that you co-authored with Dr. Sam Blumenfeld, Crimes of the Educators, and we can't rehearse all that we went through in that program at that time. We'll tell people, listeners, how you can get a copy of the book, but though we can't go into all that, there has been some have called it an evolution, though, of our educational system that we see occurring today, but what we're seeing today is not really accidental, but you would argue, Alex, that it's by design. So if I could have you comment on this, because there are many older adults who will just talk about, you know, the good old days of education, how it used to be. But you mentioned just over 100 years ago, some of these, you know, the philosophies that are there, there really is a connection to see the fruit that's coming from those seeds that were planted long ago.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I think the evidence is overwhelming that the people who set up this system that we call the public education system today did so with the specific purpose of turning our children away from God, away from the Bible, away from Christ, away from the principles that our nation was founded on, the biblical principles that underpinned our society and our families, and has been very effective. And, you know, there is this kind of pervasive myth out there that there was some golden era of public education when it was really, really great. Now, true, it was significantly better in the 40s and the 50s than it was in the 80s or the 90s. And it was significantly better in the 80s or the 90s than it was in 2021, right? So it's been getting worse. But if you look at the people who created this system, the first guy who seriously proposed it, Robert Owens, was a socialist who rejected God, who rejected private property, who rejected the family. It got picked up by the Prussians, then it was imported to the United States by Horace Mann, another man who rejected the Bible and rejected the truths contained there. And in fact, he wanted the Bible out of the classroom, which at the time, you know, was seen as a ridiculous idea. Nobody would have gone for that. And then you have John Dewey, really the architect of what we call the public education system today. And this is a man who, him and his buddies went about setting up their own religion, the humanist religion. They actually called it religious humanism, was the name of their religion. They wrote the manifesto. You can see what they believe because you can read their manifesto. The very first tenet of their religious declaration was that the universe is self-existing and not created. Now, if you compare that with the first words of the Bible, the contrast is very clear. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. And so John Dewey, who was a big fan of the Soviet Union, he actually went over to the Soviet Union and was very pleased with what they were doing educationally. He wanted to use the public school system in America to turn American children away from God and toward this collective ideal. And in 1962, 1963, when the U.S. Supreme Court expelled God and the Bible and prayer from our public schools, they really, in the words of Justice Potter Stewart, who wrote the dissent, what they did was they established the religion of secularism, or as John Dewey would have called it, the religion of humanism. And I think that is at the root of how we went so wrong as a nation.
Well, Alex, as we unfold today, what's happening behind school doors, we've got a lot to comment on today. But would you agree that there really is an agenda that is intolerant of Christianity?
Oh, there absolutely is. And it's very clear to see that now that the teachers are being trained that their students might come from oppressive homes where they have Christian parents who view gender as a binary and who won't be affirming. I've talked to many parents, actually, who have struggled with the school system over this, because what the schools are doing is they're convincing these poor children that they must be transgender. And then, you know, the school steps in and says, well, we have to protect them from their own parents. So what we have here is really a total usurpation of the role of parents and even of the role of God by the government through the school system. So it's very, very dangerous what's happening here. They are teaching the children a false religion. And this is all, again, by design. This is part of the system. This is not an aberration of the system. This is what it was supposed to do.
We understand there's really an incorporation of what is being called holistic or whole child philosophies, social emotional learning, even spiritual education. Can you shed some light on this topic of holistic, you know, treating the whole child and the social emotional learning?
Well, the social emotional learning is a relatively new concept, and it didn't take me very long of digging to find out that this actually has its roots blatantly in the occult. I went to Castle's website. Castle is the Collaborative for Academic and Social Learning. And they actually told you there, they took it down after I exposed it, but they told you on there that this idea originated at the Fetzer Institute. So I looked up the Fetzer Institute, and it's this new age occult institute founded by a disciple of Alice Bailey, who, of course, was in communication with demonic entities she referred to as ascended masters that gave her her ideas on education and everything else. And so what SEL does is really a new and improved way of manipulating children psychologically to arrive at certain predetermined conclusions that the people behind the scenes want them to have. And so when you go through their websites, what you'll see obviously very, very clearly is a political agenda. They have a leftist, anti-American, Marxist orientation, and they expect the children to adopt these views. But they also, as you pointed out, have a spirituality component of it. And I think the spirituality component is even more alarming from the Christian perspective, because what they are doing is they are steering these children away from the one true God and toward very, very dangerous ideas. This runs all the way through UNESCO, the United Nations, the public school system. And what you'll find is at strategic locations all throughout the system, you have these people who are very much into the New Age movement. And I can give you many examples. The guy who wrote the World Core Curriculum actually specifically stated in the teacher's manual, for the World Core Curriculum in the foreword that, this was based on the teachings of Alice Bailey. Now, Alice Bailey, we talked about her a moment ago. She was in communication with these demonic entities she called Ascended Master. She was also the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company. Now they call it the Lucius Trust, but it's still around. This is very, very clearly what they're doing. And what you see, you know, Bible says judge something by its fruit. Well, what is the fruit of this public education system? Well, we see an explosion in children committing suicide, in children having mental problems, in children taking drugs, in children aborting their children, in children having fornication and illegitimate children and abortions. And I mean, what we're seeing right now is the implosion of our society, and it all goes back to the philosophy and the tactics and the worldview that's being inculcated into these children through techniques like social and emotional learning.
And at the same time, demonizing Christianity in all of this. You just wrote an article recently, Alex, telling of a teacher in California that was instructing children to associate fascism with Christianity, and associating the GOP with the National Socialist or the Nazi Party of Adolf Hitler.
That's right. And this is very typical now of what we're seeing in the public schools. And, you know, I tell parents, every false religion that you can think of is welcome in the school. Just last year, the State Board of Education in California voted unanimously to adopt a new ethnic studies model curriculum that had elementary school children chanting to the pagan demonic deities of the Aztec regime of cannibalism, war, and human sacrifice. So they're doing Hinduism in the classroom, they're doing Buddhism in the classroom, they're learning the Shahada, the Islamic Shahada in the classroom, but you can't mention the Ten Commandments, you can't mention the Lord's Prayer, you can't mention the Gospel, you can't mention the Bible. Jesus is only to be ridiculed. So it's it's very interesting double standard here, and it's so pervasive. I always quote our Lord himself. He was quoted in Matthew and in Luke, pointing out that you're either with me or against me. And so that gives us two choices. Now, when we look at the public schools, it's very clear that they're not with Christ. That leaves one option remaining. And I think when you look at what they're teaching, when you look at the fruit that's coming out of these, it becomes very clear what we're dealing with here. It is not of Christ.
You know, Alex, you mentioned the Shahada, and ladies and gentlemen, as you perhaps know, that is the Islamic confession of faith. And Alex, yet, you know, they would be up in arms, Freedom from Religion Foundation, the NEA and others, if teachers would have their students memorize a verse like John 3:16. That is taboo, but to give the Islamic confession of faith, I mean, they don't think twice about it.
No, nope, that's right. And in fact, the U.S. Department of Education funds more and more resources glorifying Islam, glorifying any religion you can think of, anything except the Judeo-Christian worldview, anything except the Old and New Testaments is more than welcome in the public school system. And you see this from coast to coast. You see this even in the most conservative rural school districts that you can imagine, in the middle of nowhere, you know, small little district in Nebraska or Oklahoma. It's absolutely ubiquitous, Jim.
Alex Newman is with us here today on Crosstalk, and Alex, while we're talking on this issue, again, in your book, Crimes of the Educators, that you co-authored with Dr. Sam Blumenfeld, you really get into more of the history and philosophy of the very roots of the educational system today, the government education system. How is it that our listeners can obtain a copy of that book?
Well, it can be purchased through Amazon, or if people want to get it from my website, I can send them a signed copy. It's at libertysentinel.org. /shop. But again, Amazon has it cheaper than I'm able to sell it, and it'll get to you faster. So,
okay, libertysentinel.org or at Amazon. Again, is called Crimes of the Educators. We're going to take a quick break here, friends, and we're going to come back, and we're going to introduce some other topics of what's going on behind school doors, things like critical race theory. We also are going to get into what I called sex education on steroids. Folks, it is just off the charts that what is happening in school districts all across this nation. Stay with us. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do comets come from?
Chris, comets pose a very difficult problem for long-age evolution. Many of these comets are short-lived. They last only a few trips around the sun, but yet our solar system is full of comets. Therefore, it can't be very old. Evolutionists have proposed a hypothetical source of comets called the Kuiper Belt. Photographs from the Hubble telescope seem to support the claim. Unfortunately, recent studies of these same photos declare that the Kuiper Belt has not been found. There is no source of comets which would keep our solar system supplied with them. The Bible says that the entire universe was created in creation week, along with everything else. It's not billions of years old, and the evidence that we see supports this. Everything goes back to Genesis, and so it should.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman is our guest today. Our topic, behind school doors. Friends, there is much that is unfolding behind classroom doors that you may not be aware of. And as we are seeing different agendas that are coming forth throughout the educational system, Alex, I just became aware of recently Ed Martin at PhyllisSchlafly.com warned about a bill just introduced in July. I looked, and it's H.R. 8450. It's called the Healthy Meals, Healthy Kids Act. But there's this politicization that's happening here because it actually creates incentives for schools that source their school lunch foods from producers that have unionized labor or participate in animal welfare programs. Those that obtain something called a workers' justice certification or produce food in a, quote, environmentally sustainable manner. I mean, they report it would also create a program for schools to completely cut meat out of the school menu. So, I mean, that's not just what is being taught in the classroom. It's what's, you know, happening, that what's being foisted upon school districts as well.
Yeah, and this is not a new problem. Going back to the establishment of the U.S. Department of Education, the federal government has been imposing terrible policies on our schools. They're actually holding students' lunch money hostage right now for the transgender thing. They're saying if you won't impose transgenderism on your school, then we'll withhold school lunch money. And if we were obeying the Constitution, this really wouldn't be an issue because the federal government is not supposed to be involved in education. There is no authorization for any involvement in education from the federal government. But so much of this madness, both what's coming from the UN and what's coming from the teachers' union, is actually being imposed on our states and on our local school districts by the federal government using these types of grant programs. So they'll, even though the federal percentage of the school budget is usually less than 10%, depending on what state you're looking in, they end up typically getting control of almost 100% of the important policy making. And, it's one of the big reasons why we're in the mess that we're in.
Another issue that is really in, happening in the classrooms and impacting the minds of many is the aspects, Alex, where they are grilling the minds of students really to hate this country. I mean, that's happening in classrooms all across this nation.
Yes, it is. And, critical race theory is one of the tools that's being used to accomplish this. Now, critical race theory is really just Marxism framed a little bit differently for the American context. They realize that in America, the standard class warfare rhetoric would not be as effective, so they choose different tools to divide America with. They chose race, and now they've added to that, cisgender and transgender and homosexual and heterosexual. But it's functionally the same thing. They're dividing society up into two classes, the oppressors and the oppressed, and then they're fomenting conflict between these two categories of people with the goal of dividing the nation and then eventually having it collapse and then something new built in its place. So this is extremely dangerous. So they're using fake history, completely fake history. I mean, just completely made up out of whole cloth, things like the 1619 Project to make little children think that the history of America is really just racism, slavery, sexism, et cetera, when really nothing could be further from the truth. But this is all very strategic. It's by design. And it's the same type of thing we have witnessed in other countries that have fallen to communism in the run-up to that process.
Yeah, and folks, again, I just refer you back to crosstalkamerica.com because we did a full interview with Alex here on the 1619 Project as well. Alex, there's another issue that we just got to address here because it's nearly on a daily basis that we're seeing some of the most egregious material that's being forced on the minds of children at very early ages. Let me just mention a few and have you comment on this as a whole. Here from the Washington Free Beacon, telling of an Ohio school district promoting an LGBTQ+ resource guide, instructions on sex workers, how to get abortions. I mean, it's provided to students on how they can obtain these items by just scan this QR code that we provide, and students can get it on their phones. Right here in our backyard, we have Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, their school board that has just passed the sex ed program just last month that will have young elementary students learning on gender identity, specific body parts. Third graders have to learn about consent, body image. Sixth graders, different types of sexual activity. I mean, it's so graphic, I can't speak of it. Last week, Fox News reported the largest children's hospital in Chicago recently partnered with local school districts to provide radical gender theory, kink, and trans-friendly sex toys for children. Partnering with schools, folks. The Daily Caller last week wrote of the Driftwood Public Library in Lincoln City, Oregon, holding a gender-affirming closet donation kickoff in August, receiving donations from the community for their gender-affirming closet at the local high school. I mean, they're collecting things like chest binders, underclothes, many other items I'm not going to get into. The Daily Caller also last month wrote about the New Jersey Department of Education intervening in school districts that don't implement their full new sexual education standards. 10-year-olds, you know, have to learn the difference between sexual orientation and gender identity. Schools that fail to adhere to these new sex ed standards facing disciplinary action. Folks, I could carry on for hours the stories that are coming in here, and I know you could as well, Alex. And there are so many things that it angers me inside, Alex. I'm just angry inside because you cannot even speak of these things over the air, but they're putting them in the minds of 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 year olds. And it's literally an explosion of sex ed in very explicit terms, diagrams, illustrations, and how-tos.
Yes, it is, Jim. It's monstrous. And one of the things that Jesus said is it'd be better if you want to corrupt children that you'd have a millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the bottom of the sea. What we're dealing with here is a horrific crime against America's children. They are being taught the most grotesque and perverse sexual acts, beginning really by the time they're in kindergarten. They're being taught that they can choose new genders. They're being encouraged to transition to new genders behind their backs. We've now got multiple instances where schools transitioned children to new genders without even letting their parents know. Even in very conservative states like Utah, we had a 10,000% increase in the number of young girls in a 5-year period who were transitioning. Again, 5-year period, 10,000% increase.
My.
So the indoctrination is extreme. It's very nefarious. It's happening behind parents' backs. And also, this is not even just isolated to the United States. The UN now has created a global sex education technical standards for the globe. And they say that this needs to be taught in public schools all over the world. And some of the things on there for 5-year-olds are things that we cannot say over the air. For good reason, right? Some of these things are if you as a regular person provided this to children, you'd be arrested for violating obscenity laws and you'd be charged with a felony. And yet the schools have exemptions from all this. It's so horrific what they're doing that, it's a crime against children, Jim. And, if parents don't protect their children from this, nobody will.
You're right. And folks, you can just understand there's an explosion of this every June during so-called Pride Month. And every year, it seems they're adding another letter from the alphabet into the mix. Every October, you get into the whole LGBT History Month as well, and big promotions through the month of October. And then all the days through the school year as well, you know, Transgender Day of Visibility or National Coming Out Day and Bisexual Day. Alex, all of these different days are appearing in school calendars in so-called LGBT safe zones within the school buildings themselves.
Yep, they are. And, California started with these gender transition plans where they were basically giving these forms to children to teach them about how they could start their transition process behind their parents' back, how the school was going to help connect them with the resources. And I was giving a talk about that in a very conservative rural county here in Florida. And one of the school board members was there. She said to me after my talk, Alex, that exact same form is in our district as well.
Right.
This is happening all across the country, folks. I don't care how conservative you think your community or your state is. This is absolutely nationwide, and it is sick.
Now, the other aspect to this equation here, Alex, and you recently wrote on this, too, about state education authorities in Michigan that are under fire right now for encouraging teachers to help transition children to new genders without the consent or knowledge of their parents. And that's the other part I want to bring into this, because there are parents who will say, well, my child is not telling me that this is going on in the classroom. There are many things that are being done to pit child against parent, to undermine parental authority, undermine the values that parents have taught, and without parents even having the knowledge that this is happening in the classroom, and that's on purpose by those in the educational system that are pushing this on to teachers not to inform parents on these things.
That's right, and they're actually making themselves out to be the protectors of children. They're saying that you need to protect these children from their parents. You need to protect these children from their communities. And, this has been going on for a while now. As soon as the Biden administration took over, they actually put out this incredible video, with somebody from the Department of Justice, the guy who pretends he's a girl from the Department of Health and Human Services, Mr. Rachel Levine, and then a lady from the Department of Education, where they said, look, when you're going back to school, kids, if you feel like you're not being accommodated enough because of your transgenderism, here's the hotline. You can report your school. You can report your community. You can report your family, and we will stick up for you. We will defend you. So they've created this very insidious lie that if a parent doesn't, they call it affirm their child in their quote unquote decision, their choice to become a new gender, that that parent then becomes a danger to that child. Then the government has to step in and protect that child from his or her parents. So this is a very, very nefarious idea, and what it will do is it will destroy families with the government bureaucrats thinking that they're actually protecting this child, when, of course, there's nobody on the planet who loves the child more than his or her parents. So
right.
I've talked to families who have faced this. It is so heartbreaking, Jen. You can't even begin to imagine.
And friends, and I hearkened to the story coming out of Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, and there was a letter that was drafted by a multiplicity of teachers. I mean, Spanish teachers, first grade teacher, speech language pathologists, science teacher, elementary teachers. This is a letter that was sent to the Wauwatosa School Board August 22, 2022. I'm going to read just the first paragraph. We, the undersigned, are committed employees of the Wauwatosa School District. We write the following letter to voice our support for the proposed human growth and development curriculum. Critically, we write to affirm our unwavering support of all LGBTQIA plus students, staff, parents, and caregivers, and community members in light of queerphobic and transphobic statements and disinformation that have been assured publicly and online. Well, Alex, what they're certainly referring to is they've had a number of parents have gone to the school board saying, we object to this. And so as a result, you know, here we are, as you just said, you know, we're the safety patrol officer for students here. And it's those parents, those caregivers and others that they're the ones who are queerphobic and transphobic and giving this disinformation to these kids that we love and cherish so much.
That's right. And I mean, people need to think through the implications of this. So they are setting up a system now where the family is presumed to be hostile to the child and the government is presumed to be acting always in the best interest of the child. This is a recipe for disaster. This is an ideology, a worldview, a mindset that comes right out of Nazi Germany, that comes right out of the Soviet Union and out of communist China. Anybody with common sense should recognize that there's nobody in the world who loves children more than their parents. There's nobody who wants the best for them more than their parents. And yet they are now setting up a situation. And by the way, this is going to be used to persecute churches as well. They're basically saying that any pastor who tells you that you don't have to be a transgender, that you might be misled, that homosexuality is a sinful thing that you don't have to engage in, it's not who you are. They're telling you that that is all conversion therapy. And they are now passing bans on conversion therapy all over the country. So this is very, very dangerous, folks.
Alex Newman with us here today. Friends, a quick break and more information following the break. We're going to talk about the dumbing down that's happening at the same time. Folks, we're losing our edge in more ways than one. And also, did you know that there's a data collection going on within the education system as well? Stay with us back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
When it comes to eternity, most people assume they will go to heaven thinking their good deeds will outweigh their bad and God will allow them entrance. At most funerals, people will console one another saying they are in a better place. But how do you know that? How do you know if you will be in a better place? In the book, Are You Going to a Better Place? Author Richard Schmidt presents how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and you are on your way to heaven. See, after you die, there will be no negotiation with God. The scriptures provide the one way today that God's justice can be satisfied, guaranteeing that you will be in an eternal dwelling place with Him. One copy of this book is available for a donation of $10, three for $24, or five copies for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829.
Behind School Doors, our topic today. Alex Newman is our guest, and Alex has poured much, much research into this issue, and it's been going on for years. And certainly is concerned as to what's going on, but he goes back into the very historic roots of the government education system, and you can read more about it in the book Crimes of the Educators, available at libertysentinel.org or through Amazon as well. Alex, the other aspect that is we're seeing take place, and some of them are attributing this just to the shutdowns that happened during COVID and so forth, but there is a real, literal dumbing down that is taking place that is not just attributed to the COVID shutdown, but it's been going on for quite some time. Tell us about that dumbing down.
Yeah, it's so extraordinary and so extreme that I don't think there is any parallel in all of human history. And I say that after careful thought and consideration. Even 100 years ago, Americans were by far the most educated, most highly literate people in the world. As far back as the early 1800s, we had multiple studies of literacy in America showing that virtually everybody could read. DuPont de Nemours published his Education in the United States of America in 1812, and he said not more than 4 in 1,000 young people could write legibly, even neatly. In other words, virtually everybody was literate. And then you get to today, and if you believe the government's data, I mean, the government itself says less than 1/3 of our students are proficient in any subject, in English, writing, math, reading, science, history. Less than 1/3 are proficient. I mean, people need to let that sink in. What the government is doing here is fraud on a massive scale. They're saying, give us your children and give us your money, and we will take that money and we will use it to educate your children. And yet, by their own admission, they are not educating our children. There are tens of millions, maybe more, maybe over 100 million Americans who are functionally illiterate, who literally cannot read anything. The federal government did an adult literacy study in the 1990s. I think it was 1993. They split Americans into 5 different categories, with 1 and 2 being basically 1 completely, totally, absolutely illiterate, and 2 being so close to that that they're never going to read anything. Half of Americans ended up in the bottom 2 categories. So this all happened to us in a period of less than a century. And again, it was by design. And so we actually explained the mechanism that they used. I am absolutely convinced that John Dewey wanted Americans to be illiterate. They would make it much easier to pursue this nefarious agenda of his. And, I mean, the level of the dumbing down is, I don't know of any other precedent in all of human history where a population went from being so highly educated and so literate to being so dumbed down and so illiterate. There's never been anything like it. It's that astounding.
And being controllable at the same time.
Precisely. And I think that was the reason. Right? It's really funny. The very first Education Act that was ever passed in North America was in the 1640s in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. It was called the Old Deluder Satan Act. And they actually tell you the premise of the act right in. They say that old deluder Satan wants to deprive men of knowledge of the scriptures. And so that's why they said in this law that it was important that everybody in the colony learn how to read. Well, I think John Dewey understood that instinctively. He said, hey, if we can resurrect this quackery called the whole word method of teaching reading, these kids aren't going to be able to read. And if they can't read, they won't be able to read their Bibles. And so we're now in a situation where most Americans not only won't read their Bibles, but can't read their Bibles. And again, I think this was all by design, and I think the purpose was to dumb us down, to be able to control us more easily, to be able to sell us a bill of goods on all these different agendas that they're pushing, and it's been, unfortunately, extraordinarily successful.
One other aspect here, and Alex, that is you have warned for years about data collection going on within the educational system. What data is being collected, and for what purpose?
Yeah, an easier question would be what data is not being collected. They are collecting everything you can imagine and then some. They'll openly tell you they're now collecting the mental health data, the dental health data, right? What do your kid's teeth look like? What are his attitudes? What does he believe? How does he feel about abortion and open borders and religion and things like this? So all of this is being vacuumed up. They're doing endless surveys about how many sexual partners they've had, what gender they identify as. So basically any data point you can imagine, And then many, many more are being vacuumed up. They're all being put into these dossiers. I've got multiple documents from the U.S. Department of Education that says they're going to use all this data to start predicting the future interests and beliefs of these children as they grow older. Again, folks, I'm sounding the alarm. This is extremely serious. They know more about your children than you do, and it's getting worse.
Folks, here's a headline from Todd Starnes, October 2nd, Alabama middle schoolers asked about sexual orientation and parents' political beliefs. Again, more data being collected here. And then what do we find just recently in California? Yes, if your parents don't allow for this body mutilation that you want to because you're somehow thinking you're of a different biological sex than what you are, you come in, we'll take custody of you. And that's where it's going, Alex. I mean, we have the state really taking custody over young people. And it sounds so outrageous. It is outrageous, but that's what's taking place.
That's right. We're seeing the Marxist ideal of totally destroying the family, totally destroying God and religion, and substituting all of those identities and power centers with the power of the state. And so the state wants to be the parent. The state wants to be the God. The state wants to be everything, the provider to all people. And we know where this goes. I mean, we've seen this movie many, many times before. We saw Cuba. We saw Vietnam. We saw Angola. We saw Mozambique. We saw Russia. We saw Ukraine. We saw China. I mean, we've seen this over and over and over again. It always ends the same way. Mass death, total loss of freedom, destruction of civilization. And, I mean, to see this happening now in our own country, it should be cause for alarm and cause for people to get involved.
Okay, so today we're just seeing the fruits that have been laid out in those seeds that were planted so many years ago. You mentioned the names, Robert Owens, Horace Mann, John Dewey, and others. What's the solution, Alex? How do we get out of this?
Well, I think as with all things, we need to go back to the Word of God. And the Word of God very clearly delegates responsibility over the raising, the upbringing, the discipling, and the training, and the educating of children to the parents from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end. Right? You go to Deuteronomy, read Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 11, read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Right? Over and over and over again, you see the responsibility for the educating of children squarely put on the parents' shoulders. This was not something that we had the right to delegate to Caesar, right? That's not a liberty that God has given us to say, well, hey, yeah, you gave us the responsibility to raise and train and educate our own children, but we're just going to let Caesar do that. That was a very, very bad idea from the start, and I think we need to make a course correction here. You know, a lot of people don't realize most American children were not in government schools until after World War I is when the real shift took place. So this is a system that's been with us for about a century. There's no reason why it should be perpetuated. And I think for Christians, the answer here should be absolutely clear. We must get our children out of the public school systems. We must get them into the safe sanctuary of homeschools and Christian schools that are not dominated with these anti-Christian ideologies and worldviews. And you know, I don't think that's something that's optional. I think it is absolutely mandatory. So we've actually created a ministry to help with this. It's publicschoolexit.com. If anybody needs some help trying to get their kids out of the system, we can provide that there. But, you know, I think it's one of the most important struggles facing the church right now. And the church really should be playing a major role here. First of all, in teaching what the Bible says about education, in teaching what is going on in the government schools of America, and then in helping to build life rafts for getting these families off of the sinking Titanic that is the government education system. So whether that be setting up a homeschool co-op or making a scholarship fund or organizing a Christian school, every church can play a part in this. And I think God's people really, really now, if you haven't gotten out yet, must find a way to do that as quickly as possible.
Give us that website again.
It's publicschoolexit.com.
Alex Newman with us today. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Perhaps you agree, perhaps you disagree. Maybe there's something Alex has said today that, hey, wait a second, let's back that up here. Give me some more information. Again, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Alex, another story that you covered on Liberty Sentinel not long ago, one of your writers there, indicated about the U.S. military and school kids subjected to New Age spirituality education, the whole New Age aspect and this, this mystical stuff going on is something that's front and center in many an education system.
Yes, it is. You know, the New Ageism is now pervasive throughout all of this, and now they're not just doing it to our school children, to our kids in public schools. They're even doing it to our men and women in the armed forces.
So. Yeah. Again, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Richland Center. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, you probably heard from a Madison TV channel about the Richland Center High School board voting to allow the first ever gay and ally alliance club. Despite much opposition, they voted to have an after-school club for LGBTQ+. There were some ministers there that were speaking in opposition, but we have close to 30 churches in our area, and I wonder where they are in this issue of importance.
Yeah.
And what disgusts me is that this club probably will only feed the problem and not address the root issues with the proper guidance. And this is my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Alex, any comment?
Yeah, those clubs are ubiquitous across the entire country, and actually they're being used to groom young children to believe that they are homosexuals or transgenders or something like that. I've interviewed parents whose children have been subjected to this. These are very, very dangerous clubs. In fact, a mother I interviewed in northern Colorado, her daughter was sent to one of these GSA, Genders and Sexualities Alliance, after school clubs, and they told her she might be transgender because she didn't feel totally comfortable in her body. And they told her that she couldn't talk to her parents about this because her home and her family was not a safe space. And she actually gave the students her personal cell phone number. And, of course, the parents took her out. And then we used freedom of information. We got the emails from the teacher and the school administration officials. Hmm. They were plotting to send CPS to this woman's house to intervene and to do a welfare check on this girl that her parents had pulled her out of school.
My.
So this is very dangerous, and it's all over America now.
We've got Terry in Brookings, South Dakota. You're on the air, Terry.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment about the dumbing down that Alex was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We have a ministry in our town to foreign students at the local university, and most of them are master or PhD level. And so we always go to their graduations, and it astounds us when we sit and watch thousands of students pour across the stage, and maybe 10 of them are American.
Mm-hmm. And so relate that to the dumbing down. I didn't get that connection.
They're not going on for these master's PhD programs like all the foreign students that
okay.
come through.
Okay. So you're talking about the young people there, like from the community, are not going on in their studies.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
I just think it's an interesting.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for raising that. Alex.
Yeah, and that shows up very clearly in the data as well. What you see is that American children are falling further and further behind their peers in other countries. Now, the same phenomenon with the dumbing down is happening in other countries, but nowhere has it been as extreme as in the United States. America used to be number one across the board. We're now pretty much at the bottom using the PISA rankings, which, there's some questions about that, but it's very alarming.
Alex Newman with us here today on Crosstalk. We'll come back to more of your phone calls in our next segment on Crosstalk. We're discussing today the topic of behind school doors, and we'll be back in just a minute here on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently in Forbes magazine, Bill Gates declared, quote, "We're going to have a hung election and a civil war," end quote. Why would Bill Gates say this? Bill Gates, of course, is one of the deep staters, many of us believe, and is well plugged in to many globalist organizations, including the UN. Why all the narrative about violence surrounding the U.S. election? Now, U.S. Senator Susan Collins has come out talking about her fears of the physical safety for members of Congress. We also have a bulletin coming out reported by CNN through the Department of Homeland Security that is, well, possible violence on Election Day. Why are they laying this narrative? Well, my friends, apparently the globalists want civil unrest in America, as they lead us into World War III in Russia with Ukraine. Indeed, we're living in the perilous times the Bible predicted.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman, our guest here today, and a couple websites that he has given out include libertysentinel.org, publicschoolexit.com. Let's go right back to the phone lines, and holding the longest, Kevin in Richland Center, you're on the air.
Well, thank you both. When COVID shut the schools down, I was thinking about how at least the kids didn't have to face the gunplay, but that kicked up again after it's going again. So the thing is in Matthew chapter 18, the children of the greatest, so we should be teaching them how they should get a hold of God in case it gets pretty desperate in this world in the school systems back in the 60s. I started in 1965, and there was a parochial school system up around Highland, Wisconsin that shifted over to the public, so he's right. The deterioration of the school systems that took place along the industrialization of this country is an abomination for what's happened to the children, and thank you very much for addressing this issue of teaching our children who they need to be listening to get home to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Kevin, for the call. Let's go next to Jim in Wisconsin. You're on the air, Jim.
Yes. The thing that really hurts me as a Christian, raising a Christian family, it's come down to if the pastor is not addressing these issues, talking about these issues at all, it seems like my wife and daughter doesn't want to discuss any of it. And it's just like, what's your view? Should the pastors be discussing these issues?
Thank you. What role does a pastor have, Alex? So what about the church?
Yeah, you know, I think the church does have a very serious role to play here. I mean, the Bible explains very clearly what the responsibilities of the church are. And one of the major responsibilities of the church is to equip the saints to be able to do what God has called us all to do. And so, you know, I think it begins with the pastor preaching the whole counsel of God. What does God have to say about the education, the raising, discipling of our children? And there's a lot in the Bible about this very topic. Starting with the very basics, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, he tells us in Proverbs 1:7 and Proverbs 9:10. So that needs to be the foundation of any kind of education that Christian children are receiving. It's the fear of the Lord, right? Without that, there's no knowledge and there's no wisdom being gleaned from here. So I think pastors really need to preach the full counsel of God on this issue to their congregations. And then recognize that, you know, not all parents are going to be easily able to deal with this right away. And so I think that's where the body of Christ needs to step in and say, okay, we'll help you do it, whether that be a homeschool co-op or running a Christian school or setting up a scholarship fund or whatever we need to do to make sure that these Christian children are going to get a Christian education. We will step in and do it. Again, I think this is a critical issue for the church to be dealing with. Now, you know, Martin Luther kind of got into the idea that the church should maybe play a role in educating the children, and I think that's okay. But again, I think if you read the Word of God, parents are primarily in charge of overseeing the education of their children. They are primarily responsible for the education of children. So yeah, you can delegate that, some of that, to the church, to Christians. But that education must be grounded in the Word of God, or it's a counterfeit. It's a fraud. It's false. And so pastors, elders, and churches have a lot of work to do here in terms of educating their congregation about what's happening in the schools, educating their congregations about what the Word of God says, and then helping to make it possible for these families to exit as quickly as possible.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to Gail. Hi, Gail. You're on the air.
Yes. Thank you guys for all that you do. I really appreciate it. I met Alex at the rally a couple weeks ago. I introduced myself as I spent 30 years teaching in Milwaukee Public Schools, and I could tell a lot of stories, and I can verify a lot of stuff that Alex has been saying. One of the things that bugs me the most, I think, is all those 30 years, I made sure I followed the laws of not bringing Jesus Christ and not proselytizing into my classroom, and now, you know, seeing what a lot of these people are getting away with, that really hurts me. When he talked about virtual data collection, I remember doing virtual for probably the longest in our whole state of Wisconsin here. I remember teachers and I would be saying, you kind of sell your life away when you get into some of these virtual platforms and, you know, whatever that They were, you had to agree to this, agree to this, agree to this, and a lot of the times the kids had to, how do you feel today? You know, I could talk a lot about the data collection, and thirdly, I have in front of me the packet from Milwaukee Public Schools in October 2016 with gender inclusion guidance that we were trained in, and I often said to myself, we have a lot of Muslims and a lot of refugees coming to our school. I don't think they agree with this topic for LGBTQ stuff either. So I just want to thank you guys for all that you do, and God bless you for helping me opening up my eyes now, and God can use me in different ways. So thank you.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you very much. Alex, she lived and breathed with the very things you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's been incredible how many teachers have come to me about these issues and just, you know, poured their heart out and shared what they went through. And you know, I think there is a great role for Christian educators within the system to be the salt, to be the light, to share the truth with the students. But at some point, there's going to come a time, and it may have already come for a lot of us, that you know, they're going to require you to do things that, as a Christian, we cannot do, like teach children that they could mutilate themselves, or like teach children that sin is good and that righteous behavior is bad. So, you know, at some point we need to be ready to obey God rather than men. And so for now, I tell Christians, you know, if you want to go be a light in the public school system, boy, is it desperately needed. That's fantastic. But let's not send, you know, unarmed, unequipped child soldiers into this spiritual battle before they have been properly trained and discipled. So, yeah, so much there.
We have just a minute left. We're going to try and squeeze Josh in for a quick question or comment.
Yeah, I'm out of Waukesha. I just wanted to encourage parents to be on guard for doublespeak when they're trying to confront their children's educators. I had a conversation with my kindergarten child's teacher saying that I'm not okay with my child participating in any yoga or transcendental meditation practices. And she just wanted to try and reframe it as, oh, we're just doing mindfulness activities, or we're just talking about things in a way that we can think properly.
Tell you what, thank you, Josh. We got Alex Redondo, a quarter minute, your comment there.
Yeah, that is ubiquitous. Mindfulness education, yoga, again, all false religions are welcome in the public schools, everything except the truth of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage parents and pastors, open up the Word of God, see what God says, and then be faithful and obey. And thank you so much, Jim, for having me on the program. Really appreciate it, and God bless you.
Thank you, Alex. Alex Newman with us today, libertysentinel.org, publicschoolexit.com. We also had another caller we didn't get on, emphasizing parents getting involved with good news clubs at schools afterwards. Indeed, a way to reach young people with the gospel message. Our time is gone, folks, but we trust today's program has been an eye-opener and certainly a matter for prayer as well. Thank you so much for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.